This is all of it. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. And today we were talking just now about food. And hey, now it's time for us to talk about drinks. In our last segment, we were talking to reality competition Top Chef. And now we are going to talk to somebody from The Infatuation about bars. And before we get to drinks, let's start with some numbers, because nothing says a fun night out like macroeconomic data. According to a 2018 report, New York City boasts over 2,000 bars, which generated 13,400 jobs, $492 million in wages, and $2 billion in direct economic output. So it's an important economic sector for our city, and one that was hit relatively hard by COVID over the past few years. But obviously, it's also so important socially. If you're a regular listener of WNYC, you've heard us talk about the demise of what some people call quote-unquote third spaces. We're talking about places other than home and work where people gather to socialize. And in lieu of bowling leagues and shopping malls that are disappearing, even in the suburbs, bars fill that social need. So now, to give us a rundown of some of New York City's best bars, please welcome Brian Kim, New York City editorial lead for the online dining guide, The Infatuation. And side note, Brian, I understand you've also been described as The Infatuation's resident bar expert, so I'm feeling like we're in good hands. Welcome to all of it.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's true. I do think that I'm the resident bar expert.
Wonderful. And so listeners, if you're listening in and you're into talking to our resident bar expert, or you've got some expertise of your own, help us crowdsource some of your favorite bars around the city. What's special about your favorite place to get a drink? Do you feel more at home in a divey setting or a swankier cocktail affair? Or maybe you've got a question about bar etiquette, or you're looking for a recommendation for a particular night out you're planning. We're here for all of it. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can DM us on Instagram or X. We're at all of it WNYC. So, Brian, before we get into The Infatuation's new bar recommendations, let's talk about COVID for a second. It obviously took a toll on New York's nightlife industry. And you know, it's bounced back in recent years, but are there still ways that you think since the pandemic, the bar scene has still just stayed changed?
I do think that the bar industry has bounced back really strongly. Bars are obviously busier, like as busy as they were before in a lot of cases. But I don't know if like late nightlife has bounced back as much as you would think it would have. Are people staying out as late? I'm not sure. Or maybe I'm just not staying out as late anymore because I'm obviously older than I was during the pandemic. So it's tough for me to say, but I do think that bars aren't quite as busy as they were before. And probably late night bars and clubs specifically aren't as busy as they were before.
What makes something a bar? Like what makes a bar versus a club or a tavern, or I don't know, if you're in the 1800s, a saloon, what's a bar?
Well, bars, taverns, saloons, I throw them all in the same category. But then once you start, say, you have a line at the door, you have a doorman, you go to a place for dancing, then it becomes a club. If you offer bottle service, you're a club. Mm.
So let's talk about the best new bars. You edited a piece in The Infatuation running down some of the best new bars in the city. And I thought it was interesting that you tagged each one with a kind of occasion. Can you tell me about those occasions and maybe break down some of them for us?
Right. So when we write about bars and restaurants, we like to specify what situations specifically they would be good for. And so in the case of bars, it's usually just a few different situations we're looking at. Maybe drinking good cocktails, drinking good beer, drinking good wine. A first date is a big one. We do a lot of date content. People are always looking for that. Maybe drinks with a friend. Business drinks. I don't think we have that tag, but we should have that tag. Mm. And dancing is another one. Let's dig into it a little bit.
So anyone listening right now, you mentioned dating. That one stuck out to me. Anyone who's on the dating apps or just dating in general probably wants to know where to take people on a first date. What are qualities that make for a good date night bar? And, you know, if you have any examples, we're open to that for sure.
A good date night bar should be quiet enough for conversation, but not so empty or quiet that it's awkward. It should be a little bit intimate, maybe a little bit dark. But it doesn't have to be dark. Talia in the West Village is a great first date bar. It's a beer bar on Christopher Street. and it's very bright, but it's a nice place to sit and have a conversation. So you don't have to be too dark, casual, not too expensive. So you're not spending $200 on drinks on a first date. And then when you get into, say, the 10th date or the 200th date, then maybe you get into fancier cocktail bars, like, say, the Portrait Bar, a new bar in a Nomad hotel where the drinks cost something like $22, but they are very good.
You mentioned dancing, too. Talk about that a little bit and some examples.
So dancing, people love dancing content, maybe because we're one of the few sites who kind of give information for where you can go and actually dance. We try to find bars that aren't clubs where you don't have to get past a doorman who decides whether or not you can go in. We try to find places like, say, The Last Call in Williamsburg, where you can listen to vinyl and have a dance party on a Saturday night. Or maybe Black Flamingo, also in Williamsburg. Apparently, you can dance a lot in Williamsburg, which is a basement club where you can go out and dance. There are also plenty of places in the East Village, the Lower East Side. There are definitely certain neighborhoods that have bars where you can dance. And it's something that people look for, I think.
Let's go to some calls. We've got Tulis on from Harlem. Hi, Tulis. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Just want you to know.
Thank you. Any recommendations for us?
My recommendation is West Bank Cafe on West 42nd Street between 9th and 10th. It's kind of a neighborhood place. It's right at the, what are those buildings? Never mind. Who cares? But it's owned by Steve Olson. It's been there since 1978. And he used to do deliveries during the AIDS crisis and during the pandemic. He and his wife were the staff.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a great, then they remember you. You know, they've got a great happy hour.
And the name of it is the West Bank Cafe?
West Bank Cafe. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's right across the street from Playwrights Horizon. So if you're going there or to Theater Row or to Signature Theater, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away. And the staff is fabulous.
Tulis, thank you so much for that call and for that recommendation. We've also got Nadette on from Staten Island. Hi, Nadette. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful. Thank you. What, do you have any recommendations?
Oh, absolutely. So you got to come out to Staten Island for Steinies. Steinies is like 5 minutes from the ferry, not even that far. And the best thing about Steinies is, oh, my God, I'm getting on the bus right now. Okay, no, I'm not going to get on the bus. I'm going to wait.
thank you for waiting for us.
Yeah, the best thing about Steinies is it's really diverse. I mean, it really breaks the stereotype of Staten Island. Even in Manhattan, I'm a big, I go to Manhattan. I love all the boroughs. But I feel like when you go to a bar in East Village, you're getting, like, East Village types. When you go to the West Village, if you go to the West Bank, you're going theater goers. It's all the same people. But if you go to Steinies, you get all colors, all ages. I mean, how many times can you be in a bar with people that are 21 and 61? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, Nadette, making a strong case for Steinies. And let's give a shout out to Staten Island. Thank you very much for that. I'd be excited to go out there. Nadette, thank you so much. We've also got a text from a listener saying Virginia in Jersey City on line 3, Motel Notel. They have the best pizza you'll ever taste. They get the cheese from Italy. Side note, our producer, Malik, seconds Virginia. So thank you all so much for sending us your recommendations. Brian, have you heard of any of these, any of our listeners' suggestions? Any of them stick out to you?
The first two sound intriguing. I have not been to them, but I have them on my list now. Motel Notel, I have been to. It's on the newer side. It just opened up in the East Village last year or maybe early this year. And it's a fun place. And I think it's also one of those places where you can dance.
Oh, wonderful. So I would also love to talk about mocktails because, Brian, I've always had a hard time at bars because I don't drink a lot. And mocktails as an idea have been very thrilling for me. So where would you recommend for me to go?
So it's interesting. These days, well, when I was bartending, a lot of bars, like most bars and restaurants, did not have a mocktail list. I would make mocktails all the time for people, usually something like a virgin mojito, something easy, or with whatever ingredients I had on hand. But nowadays, it's almost weird for a cocktail bar or a new restaurant to not have a list of mocktails. So you have a ton of options. Hellbender in Ridgewood, a new bar from the people behind Rolos, does a virgin pina colada or a guava agua fresca. Mr. Mello in Williamsburg, yet another vinyl bar in Williamsburg, does a phony Negroni. And then there's Lord's, which is a restaurant in Greenwich Village from the people behind Dame. They were actually at our food festival, EatsCon, last year. They have a whole list of non-alcoholic beverages. So really, wherever you show up, you should have a lot of interesting options, at least compared to, say, 5-10 years ago.
That's great. Listeners, we're talking about some of the area's best bars, and we want to hear what makes your favorite spot unique. We're talking to Brian Kim, the New York City editorial lead for the online dining guide, The Infatuation. If you have a question for him, or maybe you've got a question about bar etiquette, or you're looking for a recommendation, give us a call. Text us. The number's 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I mentioned bar etiquette. Brian, when you're ordering drinks at the bar, sometimes it can feel a bit chaotic. Do you have any etiquette advice for flagging down the bartender or navigating with your fellow bar goers about who gets to order first?
Yeah, you know, it's just, I think you just have to be patient, make eye contact with the bartender, because chances are the bartender sees you and they have a whole list of people they're trying to get through in the back of their head. I'm speaking just from my own experience and also from my coworkers' experience. The bartender knows you're there. And they're trying to get to you. And this is true 90% of the time. Sometimes you might have to raise a hand, but generally you can just be patient, make eye contact.
You know, you want the bartender to be on your side, which means at the very least, you don't want to be making their job more complicated than it needs to be. So are there good or bad practices you can think of for when you actually place your order and you have their attention?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. No, just be, you know, be quick with your order, know what you want, be polite, but you know, it's a bar, it's casual. You're just talking to a friend, essentially.
What's your advice for how to make the most of a bar's social scene? Like when you want to meet new people, for instance?
Oh gosh, it's been a while since I went to a bar to meet new people, but, bring a friend, I don't know, just chat with people a lot and pick the right bar usually is the correct answer for this, I guess. And we probably have a lot of guides for this. We have one specifically that addresses it, bars where you can meet new people. I think that's what it's called. It probably has a number in front of it, but you want to pick a certain bar, a casual bar, a bar that's fun, bar that has a lot of people, and a bar that just has a nice welcoming atmosphere.
We've got another bar rec coming in from a text. St. Vitus, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Greenpoint. It's a home away from home for fans of heavy metal, dark wave, and industrial, a pillar of the New York City music scene, currently battling a recent closure, but they may rise again. So, you know, as we were talking about, a lot of difficulties coming in post-COVID with staying open, but thank you so much, listener, for that text. So let's talk about some bars, Brian, that have been around for a bit and have managed to earn reputations strong enough to keep drawing in people year after year. Can you think of any of those places that sort of feel like the elder statesmen of New York City bars?
Yeah, for sure. Some of them aren't even necessarily more than a decade old or a decade or two old. So like not super old in terms of New York City, but places like Attaboy on the Lower East Side, that cocktail bar has stuck around and it's still packed every night, I'm sure. There's at least a line outside every time I pass. It's a tiny place without menus. You just talk to the bartender. You tell them what you like and they make something for you. So that's one of them. Bemelman's, you know, on the Upper East Side, people are still going there. I think it's in the Carlisle Hotel, an old school cocktail bar with live music and martinis, etc. And then, you know, there's Employees Only in the West Village. There's Little Branch in the West Village. A lot of these old or 10-year-old cocktail bars that kind of opened around the same time. PDT, Death & Company, there was a whole wave of this craft old school cocktail culture that took off. And these, a lot of these bars, the best ones, are still around.
We just got a text with an interesting question that I'm interested in as well. Where are the quiet bars where you can actually hear your friend talking? Any ideas, Brian?
Oh gosh, quiet bars are hard to find nowadays. A dive bar is usually reliable. A beer bar, also reliable. And then wine bars have also just, they've taken off in the past few years. There were always a few in the city, always a couple. But now there's one in every neighborhood. So a wine bar is a very reliable option for a place to sit down and have a conversation. So many new natural wine bars too. June Wine Bar is a great one. There's Lee's in Vito and Greenpoint. What else? Sauced in Williamsburg. That one actually gets kind of loud.
Our producer, Kate, also notes that Caledonia, which is on Amsterdam in the lower 80s, is pretty quiet and quiet enough to, according to Kate, read a book there. So another one, Caledonia. Let's
yeah,
go.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, great. Two people for Caledonia. There you go. Let's go to Tracy in Staten Island. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to give a shout out to Flagship Brewery. It is on Minthorn Street in Staten Island. It is walking distance from the Staten Island Ferry. They started partnering with Fort Hamilton Distillery, so you can get their amazing craft beer and you can get a rye or bourbon cocktail. It's super family friendly and you can also order in food. So you can get some of the best pizza on Staten Island from Pier 76 while you're drinking your beer. And it's great for families. So just wanted to give it a shout out.
Tracy, thank you so much. And hey, Staten Island represent. We love hearing it. We just got a great text question, Brian. It reads, posting anonymously, please talk about tipping. I tip very well, but I still have friends who tip 20% on the bar tab. It feels like it should be more like a per drink amount. What's the thinking on this?
So it's interesting. Back when I started bartending, the standard was $1 a drink. Nowadays, that does not seem like much, especially when drinks, you know, you go to a nice cocktail bar, your drink could cost $20. Me, I tip 20% on everything. As a former hospitality industry worker, I can't not tip at least 20%. But, you know, just kind of feel the situation out, do what you think is right. Do you need to tip 20% on a $25 cocktail? Well, maybe it was really hard to make. I don't know. 20% on a $35 glass of Chablis? Maybe not. Would I do that? Yeah, but I also probably wouldn't order a $35 glass of Chablis at a bar.
From your perspective, what makes some bars more enjoyable than others?
You know, it really depends on what I'm looking for that night. And I think this is true for everybody and all of our readers, too. You're always looking for something different in a bar, depending on the situation. But I tend to like less casual bars, bars with activities. The bar that hits the sweet spot for me, for both of those things, Marie's Crisis in the West Village. It's a divey piano bar in a basement. It's tiny, and they play show tunes all night that you can sing along to. So that's probably my favorite bar in the city. But if I'm going on a date, I'm probably not going to go to Marie's Crisis.
I'm just going to go through some of the other ones that we've been getting online. So we have Brandy Library in Tribeca. We have a couple of hotel bars that people want to call out. The Flagship Brewing Company, which we had heard before. We have Belfry, So Romantic, So Fun. St. Patrick's Day, it gets a bit crazy. But their picklebacks are so good. And then Chloe on Hudson Square, on who called in too, wants to say, I appreciated Brian Kim's last review on Frog Club in the Infatuation. Love that piece. So shout out to you, Brian. Before we let you go, I wonder if you could give us just a little quick toast to bars as an institution. What do they enable? What do they provide? Give us the toast.
Oh, gosh. Bars provide everything that you don't have at your apartment. Bars are a meeting place. Bars are a town square on every corner. Bars are great for every situation, from a date to where to break up with somebody. You can do anything at a bar. Welcoming places where you have fun.
Brian Kim is the New York City editorial lead for the online dining guide, The Infatuation. Brian, thank you so much for joining us and for all of your expert tips. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.